Hey Saplings, we're back to comedy this week. And seeing as it's Mermaid, we thought you'd all enjoy this. I just wanna let you know that you're the one for me. Say amen if you feel me. Boom, say amen if you feel me. I just wanted you to know that you're amazing. I just wanted you to know, baby, everything. So say amen if you feel me.
What? Smoke? Holy shit. Fire. Fire. Where is it? Oh, fuck. The bathroom. Oh, I must have left the candles on. This is what I get for defying gender norms and treating myself to an atmospheric candle-lit bubble bath. Ah, shit! I gotta call 999. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Fuck! Who the fuck can that be?
Julius? Are you there? It's me, Todd, from a few doors down.
Todd? Todd! He's a firefighter! He'll know what to do! Hey! Todd, there's been
Hi, Julius. I hope I'm not disturbing you. Okay, it's just, I couldn't help but hear your fire alarms going off. Let me finish, Julius. I hope you don't think I'm being too nosy, but I've got a fire extinguisher right here, and I thought maybe I could pop in for a second and put out the fire for you, if you don't mind.
Yes, please come in. Put the fire out.
Could you turn the alarm off? It's hurting my ears.
There.
Much better. And where is the fire?
It's in the bathroom. Please, hurry.
Candles will do.
Yeah.
Romantic bath for two.
For one.
Yeah, we've all been there. Now, let me have a look. Bloody smoky. Hang on, I'll see you this.
Nothing serious lost, although you'll need to buy a new towel.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That could have been really serious. I'd have felt bad to have to call 999 for this. The emergency services must be so busy, what with the pandemic and everything.
You're welcome, Julius. But I have to tell you, I came here with an ulterior motive. You see, I was hoping something like this might happen. I've been wanting to talk to you.
Why do you need a house fire just to talk to me? What's wrong with, hello, Julius? We share a kitchen, after all.
It's just, you're always talking to Professor Snape, and I'm very scared of him.
I mean, to start with, he doesn't just do Snape, he does all the hits.
Some of the boys at the station knew I was scared of him and paid him to pop out of a giant cake on my birthday last year.
What, like as a prank?
Nah, it wasn't a prank. They wanted to treat my irrational phobia of Snape with cognitive behavioural therapy and introduce me to my fears in a comfortable and familiar setting. Unfortunately, it backfired and now I'm also terrified of cakes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I was hoping for a fire or something so I could get you alone and give you this.
A screenplay. You wrote a screenplay.
At first, I was a little self-conscious, but then I thought to myself, if I can bench press double my body weight, I'm sure I can knock up a movie script in no time.
And the main characters are called... Todd and Julius.
Yeah, I sort of based them off of me and you. I thought, if Ricky Gervais can do everything, well, why not us? Well, go on. Have a look at it.
Paint Me Like One of Your French Shells by Tadric Sonoda. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be an actor. To me, being an actor was better than being the king of a far, far away kingdom. I was like the Little Mermaid, desperate to be part of their world. Although, unlike the Little Mermaid, I already had a pretty hard body. Problem was, my voice. You can hear it, right? I sound like a poor man's Steve Buscemi. A very poor man's Steve Buscemi. To try and solve my problem, I first drew upon my favorite type of film, gangster movies. Unfortunately, I don't actually have a godfather, and the sight of blood makes me woozy in real life. So instead, I rented a different movie, one containing a protagonist who shared my predicament. Can you guess where this is going? The Little Mermaid made a deal for some hot new legs. Couldn't I do the same thing and get a hot new voice? And so, just like her, I foolishly chose to visit a sea witch.
Oh, so when a man pressures a teenager into signing a legally binding magical contract, he's a sea businessman. But when a woman does it, she's a sea witch.
The deal I made was simple. Nobody would have to hear my voice anymore. Instead, they'd hear my words, but in the voice of the person they most desired. In exchange, I agreed to submit my body to the sea witch.
Sea businesswoman.
Sounds like some kind of sexy, indecent proposal type situation, right? Wrong. Instead, the sea witch stole my body and trapped my soul inside a conch shell. You heard me, a friggin' conch shell. The only leading role I was gonna get was in Lord of the Frickin' Flies. However, there was one way to return my lonely soul to its previous stunning assemblage. To get my body back, I had to find a person who, when I spoke, heard me as I originally was, who most desired my original voice, who most desired to hear me exactly as I sound to you right now. You see my conundrum? And so, being a shell and all, my quest to find such an individual began at the beach. With me, a conch shell, washed up on shore, trying to get someone to talk to me.
What a beautiful shell.
Please, help me. I've been trapped in the shell for months and...
Yeah!
Honey, are you okay down there? You know, for a second, I thought I heard my boss. This happened more times than I'm happy to admit. So instead, I tried a different tactic.
I am God.
And who should pick me up next but a little girl?
God's not real. You must be Satan.
So God's not real, but Satan is?
Look at all the bad things that go on in the world. God would never allow them to happen. So, you must be Satan.
Can't argue with that.
So, do you want to be my friend?
You want to be friends with Satan?
Do you like sandcastles?
Sure, I guess.
What about puppies?
Well, who doesn't like puppies?
So, then we can be friends?
I guess we can.
Mom, I'm friends with Satan!
That's great, dear.
And become friends we did. The kid took me home and put me on the bedside table next to a pillow. She said she wanted...
For Satan to always be watching over me while I sleep.
After a while, I really began to care for the kid. Started to treat her like she was my own.
Now, next time someone says that Jesus could beat Satan in a fight, you say...
I refuse to be impressed by someone who could be defeated with a nail gun.
That's my girl. Now, go to sleep.
Satan?
What is it?
I can't sleep. Will you tell me another one of your stories?
What one do you want?
Serpico!
But you've already had that one twice this week. Listen, I'll tell you another story, even better than Serpico.
Better than Serpico?
I promise, okay? Alright, you all snuggled up? So, our story starts on a rainy night on the streets of New York. With a taxi driver named Travis Bickle.
But, like all good things, our time together would have to come to an end.
I'm sorry, Satan, but my mom says I'm not allowed to play with you anymore. She says if I'm ever going to make it in the world of business, I need to stop talking to the devil and start acting like her.
Kid, please, think about this. What are you doing? Don't put me in a bag. What are you doing?
See you in hell!
Yeah!
You know, even burning to death, I had to appreciate the kid's craftsmanship. I mean, she handled gasoline like an artist. Anyway, fortunately for me, the fire officers arrived and saved me. And that's when I met him. Who would want to burn such a beautiful shell? I wonder if it belongs to anyone. I will. I'm a fire officer, not a policeman. Mine now.
Tad. A firefighter. He was perfect. Kind.
Gosh, my hands sure are sore from helping build houses for all those orphans.
Muscular.
Gosh, my arms sure are sore from bench pressing all those orphans.
Not to mention.
Okay, orphans. Tonight, I'm going to read you one of my all-time favourite bedtime stories. It's about a man called Tony Montana, or, as the Miami drug lords knew him, Scarface.
And, he really seemed to like me. He even made me into his lucky necklace. Carried me around everywhere with him. But I couldn't bring myself to talk to him. I knew the voice he heard wouldn't be mine, and I couldn't stand that. So, I didn't talk. I guess you could say I was a shell of my former self. Eh? Eh? Yeah. So, for about a year, I lived life as a regular, non-talking shell. Until one fateful day...
The annual Pumping Iron for Orphans charity event's being held here! Tomorrow! Oh, how I've always longed to enter... Let's see, oh, so many events. The Orphan Jump, the Orphan Toss, the 100 Orphan Dash, and... A monologue from Charles Dickens' most beloved orphan classic, Oliver Twist. But... Oh, of course... The most important muscle is the mind! Only, I'm not a very good public speaker. No, I've got to do it. I will save those orphans with my acting.
He practiced all night, but...
Please, sir, I'd like extra. No, that's not it. Excuse me, mister, fill up me plate. No, still wrong, damn it! Why can't I get this? I'd give up anything to help those orphans. Even my big, meaty, man-slaying... Must be daybreak already. Well, time to go humiliate myself publicly.
And so came the competition.
I'd never seen a man look so beautiful. Jumping over orphans. Running past orphans. Or throwing so many orphans. Until, finally, it was time for the monologue. Todd stood up on stage, shaking like a leaf. And when the time came for him to say his line... He froze. He stood there in silence for a moment. And then... I felt his fingers wrap around me. Around the shell. He was praying for a miracle. So, I gave him one.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
It was a showstopper.
Oh my god! I'm an exceptionally talented ventriloquist!
And I sound just like a poor man's Steve Buscemi.
Like Steve Buscemi, but I sound like... Hey, wait, what's happening to me?
My body... My body's back! I'm still hot!
I'll say.
Wait, so it was you who said that line for me?
Yeah, great idea, right? Thank you, villain, from Singing in the Rain. So, the voice you wanted to hear the most was mine? Like this? You must be crazy.
Yeah.
I just wish you'd spoken up sooner.
Guess we both got a little stage fright, huh? So, you wanna ditch this orphan contest and go get a drink?
Well, you gave me illegal assistance, which technically means I'm disqualified anyway. The orphans will be so disappointed.
Hey, look on the bright side. They're orphans. It's not like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to them.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, but can we stop by the orphanage anyway? A new little girl's just arrived. Kid set her whole house on fire. Killed her mum. Said she deserved to die for making her get rid of her best friend, Satan.
Really?
Yeah.
Still, I gotta give it to the little tyke. She handles gasoline like an artist.
You know, it's kids like her that keep me in this business. Hey, Todd, I know this is only our first date, but how do you feel about adoption? And they all lived happily ever after. The end.
I had better call Disney immediately.
So they can sue us.
So they can buy the script. Come now, Julius. You've seen their most recent films. They'd much rather rehash an old story than make anything new. And it's much more profitable.
Phew.
Of course, we'll have to make a few changes. The main couple in a Disney story can't be gay. No. Instead, we'll make the little girl a teenager and have the fireman fall in love with her instead. Then Michelle can be her gay best friend that gives her love advice. And we can advertise the movie as having Disney's next first gay character.
I don't know how Todd's gonna feel about you headcanning his work. You see, he's actually gay, and when he plays the part...
Todd's not going to be in it.
What? But he wrote it, and... Well, to be blunt, the guy's a hunk. And a fireman. I really think he'd be perfect for the role.
And mere weeks ago, that would have been enough. But, unfortunately, I have other plans.
But Todd really had his heart set on me and him playing the leads. What if this means he won't sell you the script?
Then instead of calling Disney, I'll call their lawyers. And then he'll be dead.
As in, they'll sue him so hard he'll wish he was dead.
I know what I said.
So then what are you gonna do?
As I said, I already have the perfect actor in mind for the role.
Yeah, it must be some big name to get you so excited.
No. In fact, they're completely unheard of. A nobody. That is, until I discovered them.
What? But how?
Julius, haven't you ever wondered what I was doing while on lockdown?
You mean aside from luring sailors to their death?
Stargazing, Julius. I was stargazing. And I think I've discovered a new one. The biggest and brightest star of them all.
Little Bonsai presents Plague Town. Written, edited, and directed by Freddie Valdosta. Performed by Freddie Gilbraith and Quinn B. Kirkland. Produced by Angus Lorenzo. Special thanks to Dolly Hill. The music you're listening to is You're a Star by Party Animal. That's PRTYANML. We're on Twitter, at The Little Bonsai, and at Plague Town. Come drop us a line if you've enjoyed the show. You can also rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. And if you know someone who might like the show, we'd love you to show it to them. Stay safe out there, saplings.